Good morning. Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Sing, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O Israel.
Be glad and rejoice with all your heart.
Lift up your voice in praise.
For God has reversed his judgment against you and has scattered your enemies.
So celebrate and sing for joy, for God, our loving Redeemer, is present among us even now.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace, love incarnate, said this: "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." It was given that we might tend it, that we might nurture it, that we might spread it even to the ends of the earth. And so here and now, let us practice, let us hone our craft and share that gift. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another. Sisters and brothers, I say to you, good morning. In the name of the one for whom we wait, I bid you welcome to this place, where candles cast off doom and where glorious music fills the room, where word is read and prayers are said, where children abound and joy is found, where windows let in the light and fears are put to flight, where the Spirit comes to greet and Christ comes to meet, where we encounter the divine and are grafted to the vine, where we come as we are and get transformed by love from afar. Friends, welcome to this holy and special place, where we celebrate love and hope and grace, where we dwell in peace, and this morning, where we swim in joy. Know that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are most welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to all of our guests this morning. There are pew cards in each and every pew. If we do not know how to get a hold of you, please fill one out that we might extend our greetings. Last night, if you weren't here, you missed it. It's that simple. Last night, this room was filled with joy and love and beauty, thanks to the Stockbridge Festival Chorus, Tracy, and to all of the people who brought this room to life and told the story of the Magnificat deeply and beautifully. Thank you. While the echoes of that concert can still be heard in the small corners of this room, I want to welcome this group, the Anonymous 10 from Simon's Rock. We are excited and grateful that you are here to help lead us in worship and share your gift of voice. I would like to invite anyone who has an announcement to make to go ahead and come on forward to the microphone and do so.
Good morning. I'm wearing two hats this morning. The first one is from the Service League of the church. The ladies would like to thank everybody who participated in the Holly Fair. It was very, very successful. We had a wonderful day, and we did make $6,550. Thank you. My other hat is the poinsettia order. You should all have one still in your bulletin. Today is the last day for you to fill it out, please. And the box is in the Jonathan Edwards room. If you could put it in there, much appreciate, and thank you.
Good morning, I'm Joanne from the Deacons Committee, and if you haven't yet purchased Brent's sermons, a beautiful compilation of 21 of the best, well, they're all really excellent. I can't, please do see me afterward. Just so that you know, the proceeds for this book are going to Berkshire County to various needs for those who are in need. And also, I'll be selling David's CDs. Oh, he forgot them. Never mind. Thank you.
Hi, Ann Hutchinson, and I also have two announcements. 2 weeks from today, it will actually be the Sunday after Christmas. Hard to believe. We're going to do a pageant that day, and we want anybody who'd like to be part of the pageant to be part of it. No speaking parts. It's all acting out the roles, while Ted and Mary Lou are the readers. If anyone would like to take a role in that, we're mixing it up. We already have a young female wise person, so we can add others to that. And we'll be pick-up roles that day, so that if you know any children who would like to come, you'd like to bring any family members who are in town, please do. They can become shepherds, sheep, or angels that very day. And my second one is, this will be the last open table this week. It's been a great run. It's gone for almost 6 years, but just the number of clients are guests that we're serving is, I have more volunteers. I have so many volunteers from this congregation that we don't have enough work. So we're going to have a big dinner this week. Please, everybody come. If you all come, I got to know that because I can't quite fit this many people in the Grange. But anybody who's ever worked at Open Table, please come and be honored. Many of you have volunteered in many, many ways, and I'd like to honor all of you. So we're going to do a big roast beast, which is roast beef, dinner to make the Grinch proud, and we'd like to have all of you come. I do need a lot of dessert bakers, though, because we also want to have too many desserts, as usual. Thank you. Oh, and if you want to roll in the pageant, please let Ted or me know. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Carl Bradford, and I just wanted to invite you to kind of a special meeting we're having after the coffee hour today to talk about the idea of a memorial garden. We've been considering whether we should have a memorial garden where a family could spread the ashes of a loved one here on the church grounds, and we want to just have a discussion about that and get your input and tell you what the little steering committee has been thinking as they, you know, kind of prepared for this. And we'd love to have you come after the coffee hour if you can. Thank you.
Here at Advent, as the days grow shorter and the darkness grows, we as people of faith light candles. Let me now invite Nick and Willa to come forward to light today's candle.
We light this candle as a symbol of God's love for us and our love for one another. For the Lord rejoices over us with gladness and renews in his love. He exults over us with singing and turns our shame into praise.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
The letter to the Philippians is a joyful letter of love between Paul and the church located in Macedonia. In sharp contrast to many of Paul's other letters, it is devoid of troubles and or worries. Instead, it is an exhortation to the people to continue in the faithful ways. Hear these words of our brother Paul as recorded in the fourth chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Let me invite all the children who are present to come on up and join me over here. It is. Good morning. How are you today? Good. Are you ready for Christmas yet?
Yes.
Just a little bit longer, and it will be here. What? Now, have you started going to the post office or looking at the mail that's been coming your way lately? If you have, you might notice that a lot of cards are coming. Are you getting letters from other people at your house this time of year?
No.
No.
You get letters from Santa.
Well, that's all good. What more could you want?
100.
I want to show you something about the Bible that's kind of interesting. This section from here all the way to about here, this whole big chunk of pages. Do you know what's in this chunk of pages?
What?
Yeah. These are all different letters. These are all different letters that appear in here. Now, most of the letters come from a man named Paul, who was writing to a whole bunch of churches. Now, this is the globe, of course, and the churches that Paul wrote to were not on that ship.
There's two ships.
But they were basically in this area from here in Italy, stretching over here, through Turkey and a little bit down into here. So these are where he was writing letters. Now, in these letters, instead of just sending Christmas greetings, he was teaching the churches how to be good churches, how to get along with each other, how to be happy, how to make sure that they worshiped God in the right way. Now, in a lot of these letters, they're kind of cranky. Paul is irritated with the churches because he doesn't think they're doing things quite right. But in the letter that Ronnie read this morning, that letter is full of nothing but love and joy. He loves that particular church, and they're getting along perfectly great. Now, if you heard what Ronnie said, she said in that letter, Paul wrote, "Do not worry about anything." Now, do you worry about anything?
No.
Do people your age worry?
No.
Okay, what do you worry about?
Nothing.
Yeah, what do you worry about?
Today I worry about doing my Silent Night wrong on the concert.
Okay. It's a good thing to worry about. What do you worry about?
Nothing.
You worry about nothing. Good. Yeah. What do you worry about?
My family.
You worry about your family sometimes. Yeah. Bronwyn, did you say you had something you worry about sometimes? Nope. No worries. All right. You got a worry?
I worry about Santa Claus.
You worry about Santa Claus. Irving.
I'm worried about there might not be no snow.
Yes. Oh, I know. It makes me sad. There's no snow. It's easier to get around, but I worry. And in all likelihood, up here, there's not going to be any snow for Christmas, which makes me just a little bit sad. Now, Paul says in his letter that he understands that there may be reasons in life where all of us get worried or sad. But he actually says to the people in this church, don't worry so much about it. Trust the love of each other and trust the love of God. And even if things are hard, and even if you mess up on your solo of Silent Night, even if snow doesn't come or Santa forgets all about you, that life is still going to be okay because we have God and we have each other. In the end of this reading were some words that you might have recognized if you were listening. There are words that I say a lot. I say them sometimes at the end of worship, and they go like this. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one. The reason we say those words at the end of each service is that we know that people are going to go out there and worry about all kinds of things. And what we want them to remember in the days between now and the time we get back together is to let it go. Don't worry so much, and instead just practice loving God and loving each other. It may not fix our problems, but it'll help us bear them better. Okay? So before we head off to Sunday school, let's gather hands and we'll say a prayer. All right, let's make a big circle. And we invite everyone out there to join us. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, say it out loud. And if not, listen, and we will teach it. Our God,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can head off to Sunday school.
The words of the prophet Isaiah came to the people in the midst of a troubled time. Hear these words of consolation and hope in the midst of our own troubled times. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Will you pray with me? Lord of light and life, draw near now. Draw us ever closer to your heart and to your love. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. as her days on this earth were drawing to a close, a tradition began. Her son would call her every day, twice a day. The phone would ring in the old farmhouse on top of the hill. Twice a day, voices that had shared a lifetime would once again be joined. The first call took place immediately after breakfast to see how things were going. The other, as the light waned into evening, to see just how they went. Tales of the day and blessings for the night shared freely. It became the daily rhythm and routine for mother and son. The son, my dad, would reflect that those calls were the things he most cherished after my grandmother's passing. In large part because over time, those calls went beyond current events or daily needs. My grandmother began sharing stories with each and every single phone call. Sure, some of them were about grand adventures, turning points, or big events in the history of the family that she thought he needed to know. But more often, far more often, they were tales about the little things of life. They were tales about the things that might not have been spoken about, but yet, taken together, shaped the very fabric of the family life. Now, you need to know that my grandparents were not the most expressive of people. Despite my grandmother's giggle that could fill a room with joy, and my grandfather's smile that took over his entire body, if you were to look at photos of the two of them at any point in their adult life, they always seemed to come out like American Gothic. Pretty stern. Pretty stoic. And yet, in those stories she shared with my father of a hard life on a dairy farm in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, she shared the stories about the little things that gave rhythm and routine to life. Card games into the night with cherished friends after Friday fish fries when the kids had gone off to bed. There were stories about the joy of life before my dad was born, stories of dances, and even stories of kegs of beer on the back of hay wagons when the harvest was in and the butchering was done. And along with those stories of joy, there also were the stories of friends coming over uninvited and unannounced in those moments where my grandparents were in need or troubled. It simply happened, she said. My grandparents, I never once heard them say that they loved each other. But my dad heard stories of exactly how deep their love was. How my grandfather would come up behind her as she bent over in the wee hours of the morning to do the backbreaking work of manually milking cows, and he would stop and place a gentle hand on her shoulder, pausing long enough until she remembered that she was not alone in her work. How every Sunday, no matter what the needs of the farm were, they would help each other get dressed. He would zip up the back of her dress, she would put on his tie, and they would get into their emerald green Mercury marquee, and they would drive to the small brick church over the hill. How in the quiet moments of lunch afterwards, they would tell each other how much they loved each other and share all the blessings of their lives. They would welcome guests into their formal parlor, which had not changed since 1972. All before they returned hand in hand every day back to the farm. Grandma would also reminisce about the glory of birthdays, the highlight for that farm family, how every year for each family member, their birthday was set aside fully and completely to celebrate and rejoice in the one who came to be on that day. Twice a day, My father came not just to understand the what of her life, but the how her life was lived. Not just the shape her life took, but the impetus behind it all. Not just the big things, but far more important little things that together formed the very foundation of her life. The small acts of trust, love, hard work, and celebration that shaped every moment of a very hard and yet a very beautiful my life. My dad says he cherishes those insights and those connections that were made in those precious moments. And they are exactly the kind of insights and connections that are at the heart of our reading from Isaiah today. With joy, you will draw water, Isaiah says. Joy and water. Staples of life in the time of Isaiah and staples of life on our Advent journey. Before we dive too deeply into this text, you need to know that none of the prophetic writings were done in the easy or good times. They were not written on sunny days when life is smooth sailing. You see, prophets are not so much in vogue and their words not so much paid attention to in good times, even though that is precisely the time we should take them to heart. No, the bulk of prophetic writings, just like this one, come in difficult time, those times in the wee hours of the morning when your back aches and yet you are still bending over those cows trying to draw forth milk. And in this one, Isaiah the prophet, he takes his hand and he gently puts it on the shoulder of the people and leaves it there. He lingers on the shoulder of a people about to be overwhelmed long enough that the fullness of connection might be remembered and that the tough times ahead might be born. That despite all that might be coming, the people would never forget who they were or to whom they belonged. With joy, you will draw water, he says. So on this day, with a pink candle lit, let's start with that idea of joy. Joy drips through the life in Holy Scripture. And more often than not, it is not just happiness for the good times of deliverance. It is fullness in the midst of all the tiny little trials and tribulations of life. The book of Proverbs writes at length about the joy of love, of spouse, or the smile of a child. Ecclesiastes, it gushes on about the joy inherent in a simple good meal. The Psalms go on and on about the joy of a harvest. First Samuel raves about joy in receiving good news. And Habakkuk powerfully reminds us about the joy of finding new beginnings, even in bitter endings. If you read the Bible, you will find joy to be rooted in the midst of everyday life, because everyday life in this great book is rooted and founded in the connection to who God is and what God does. The God who shows up, who runs out to meet us. But it's not just the presence of joy I want you to think about today. It is how joy is manifested. You see, joy in Holy Scripture is not just some inward thing. It is not something you keep to yourself, and it is certainly no American Gothic thing. Joy in the Bible is never just a feeling. It is a giggle that bursts out of your mouth when you don't think anybody's watching. It is a smile that takes over your whole body, even if you're not ready for it. It leads to those very things that makes us good New England Congregationalists nervous, like shouts of amen in the middle of worship. That's right, and joy finds expression in clapping, wherever that came from, in singing, and something this congregation does well in feasting. You see, joy is most definitely not American Gothic. It is to be filled that you are overflowing. No matter what the road is before you or the task at hand, it is not the what of life, but rather the how of life. With joy, you will draw water, Isaiah says.
And so we turn to water. You see, drawing water was not turning on a faucet in Isaiah's time. It was part of the staple of life. In the land of Israel, where the land may have flowed with milk and honey, water was in scarce supply. Drawing water every day was the thing you did, not because you wanted to, but because you had to. You drew water every day so that you didn't overtax that well and that water might be there the next day. If Holy Scriptures are dripping with joy, they are veritably swimming in water. Some 600 references to water in Old Testament alone. Water, you see, is wrapped up in what it means to live. It is wrapped up in all those small little things we do every day. Water is the stuff from which life springs. And without it, life would cease to exist. Joy and water intertwined here in this text and in Advent. They are linked together as not just the what of life, the things to aspire or wish for, but rather the how of life. Not just the shape our life takes, but the impetus that gets us up every morning to face the new day in hopes of abundance, not scarcity. With joy, you will draw water. It is the perfect text as we wait for another birthday that is just 12 days away. A birthday set wholly and completely aside for the coming of Christ. A big day, a grand day, the kind of day that can, in fact, be a turning point. But you see, it's not just that day that should cause us to have joy. Not just that day that should cause us to burst forth in singing or applause or laughter, but rather the small acts of trust, love, hard work, and celebration that should be part of every day. Those things that allow us to feel that ever-present, lingering touch on our shoulder, especially on the days we need it most. Writing this sermon, I've come to lament that my dad and I have not yet started talking twice a day. The days still seem good and sunny, and so the phone has not yet started ringing in the manse reliably after breakfast or just as the sun is setting, and I know in my heart that needs to change. For if you ask my dad about those conversations that bring him so much meaning and joy, he will also tell you he wishes profoundly he had started having them so much earlier with her. For they were gifts to him, lessons about how to live, a gentle hand that still rests on his shoulder, reminding him to live in life-changing, mind-altering, throat-giggling, body-smiling joy, no matter what the day looks like. Friends, that is what Advent, no, that is what all of life should be about. With joy, drawing water. Amen?
Thank you.
and the joy of this Advent season. Let us draw our hearts and minds together as one and with our God. Here in this church, we lift up our joys and concerns out loud so that we might pray for them here in this room and so that each of us might take them with us in the days to come. And so I ask you, what are your joys this morning? What are your concerns? Michelle. We lift up joy for your amazing family. And let me tell you, all of us lift up our prayers for you on the journey that you are on. We are here, we are loving you, and we will not stop this day or any day. Amen. Ashley. We lift up joy for the many blessings of this community and the activities that take place at this time of year. And I know John and I also were filled with joy yesterday to have our house filled with so many wonderful people. So thank you. Yes. Next week, we will be offering prayers and blessings for Anne and for so many others who have worked, so make sure that you are here to extend that thank you again next week. Thank you, Sister Anne. Patty. We lift up your sister-in-law, Darlene, on the loss of her husband, Alex, this past week. Our prayers go out to you and your whole family. Don. We do indeed. Let's pray for that one first. Lift up our sister Anne, who, by the way, happens to be her birthday today, who wrote that hymn we just sang. We lift up joy for your mother on her 92nd birthday and wish traveling mercies on the way to South Carolina and her new home. Tracy. We lift up your brother Lynn, who was in a car accident. The car is totaled, but fortunately he is on the mend, some bruises. He's in the hospital, but we will continue praying that he fully recovers. Senta. We pray for your nephew who is caught by his aunt, the teacher, skipping school. Joyce. We lift up Helen and her last name, I'm sorry? Pickett. We lift up Helen Pickett, who is in her final days here on this earth. Jeremy. We lift up joy for our new nursery care provider, Gina, who is doing a wonderful job with our kids. If you have not met her, go ahead and stick your head in the nursery and say hello. Yes, Joanne. Indeed, a joy to have you with us here today. Thank you. Yes. We lift up your sister dealing with the effects of Lyme disease. Yes, Marjorie. We lift up Wayne, who is unfortunately having to seek employment once again. other joys and concerns, then I invite you into a moment of silence to let all of them onto your hearts and into your minds. Loving God into the deepest corners of our hearts and the most protected parts of our soul, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Bring your mercy into the places of our life where worry abounds, where despair lurks, or where hurt has found a foothold. Bring your mercy, God, where our own self-reliance has proven inadequate. Come, Holy Spirit, come with energy divine, and on all these poor, benighted souls with beams of mercy shine. God, in these precious moments embedded in this sacred season, pry open the truths that we cling so stubbornly to. Pry open them that we might discover new truth beyond our best understandings, rather than the simple limited security that comes from our human graspings. Extend your hand, God, that we might feel it on our shoulder and that we might walk hand in hand with you into the new beginnings that are always before us. No matter what we face or where we are on this journey called life. God, where things exceed our understanding, help us to sink into your heavenly embrace and your infinite wisdom. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. As we lift our gaze, God, to the coming days, guide our vision to your vision. Push aside our resignation or despair to see hope reborn in a fragile, tiny, vulnerable bundle of love, always and forever in the most unlikely and unexpected places. God, help us to see friend and neighbor alike in unfamiliar faces. Guide our vision, God, to your vision. Give us the strength to resist temptations that should be resisted, to turn aside from paths that lead nowhere, that we might follow your way, dwell in your truth, and find the gift of everlasting life now and forever. God, we are a people waiting. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And on all these poor, benighted souls, with beams of mercy, shine.
I'm
And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, let us now bring to our God our offerings with joy and thanksgiving that God provides more than enough for all. As we draw ever closer to God's great gift of love, let us give as we are able to support the ministries of this church and to be part of God's great healing. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
Gracious God, it is in gratitude and wonder that we bring these gifts that you have first given us. Bless these gifts, the hands that make use of them, and those that receive their bounty, that joy might indeed be found. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship within these walls is drawing to a close, that we might worship God anew beyond them. Before you go, a few invitations. First, come through those doors, because on the other side is good food and good drink. But come through those doors, because on the other side will be these amazing people, and I want you to say hi to them and thank them for what they have done. We will make an announcement and then reconvene back in here around 11:30 for those who are interested in the feedback session on the Memorial Garden. Friends, Christmas is around the corner. Look east and now sing. With shouts of mirth, friends, as you go forth, may you celebrate and sing for joy, ever hearing God's love singing over you. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. And let the whole church say, Amen.